Good morning. I want to thank everyone for being here on this Communion Sunday, Worldwide Communion. A few announcements to make. You can look and peruse the back of your bulletin. There'll be a Women's Association meeting today after church. Next Sunday, we're having a baptism. I hope you can be here for that. Remind you that we're using the microphone. I'll be making the announcements. We may start using an elder. We're talking about doing that, or a deacon on the door. It's something we may possibly be doing. Yesterday I went out and I bought 5x7 cards, and I bought 8 pins, and I've got 4 in reserve. Press down on that to get it to work, and then you press this to get it to go back up. So there's a whole stack of cards. You can write on those, you can hand them to me, or you can put them here on the pulpit. Just please write legibly so that I can read those announcements and be able to make it out. And mind you, the Saturday, October the 20th, is the Fleetique. And then if you're not signed up for the pictorial directory, please do so. We would like to get everybody in it, whether you're actually on the membership rolls or not. We want everyone in the life of the family to be here. Mark Loveland, our caterer, his father passed away after a long illness. He's in a funeral home in Lawrenceville. Do not have the name. Some of you computers can find it. It may be in the paper today, I'm not sure. But you can visit today from 7 to 9, Monday 2 to 4, and 7 to 9. Then the funeral is Tuesday. And I don't have a time for that, but you can find out. Deacons are asking, does anyone know or willing to download services from our website onto discs? Deacons record services to give to our friends at home. Once downloaded, to ask that the copy be placed on Deacon Room so we can provide discs for anyone willing to help out with this. And then they're asking, are we able to make multiple copies? And then Paul Ruby is thanking everyone for all the prayers and concerns during his illness, and we thank him for that. There's some old Blessing of the Bikes t-shirts on the back table. I've had them back there for a while, but I keep forgetting to make the announcement. They're women-only t-shirts. That's what was left over. So if any women would like to have one, or you want to give one for yourself or give one for a present, you can go through the stack and take one. And this will go, and I'm going to go ahead and make it so I don't forget. I sent this announcement out, but B.J. Morrison was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she informed me this morning that luckily they have caught it early. It's the size of a pea. And she is seeing her oncologist Wednesday. So let's be in prayer for her, and we'll remember to pray for her when that time comes up. And Michelle's father, back surgery on October 22nd. And I'll try to remember to pull those back out. This card was given to me by June White and asked me to read it. Dear friends of Glenshell Valley Presbyterian Church, I want to thank you for the cards, phone calls, and especially your prayers, both during and after my recent total knee replacement surgery. You are such an important part of my family, and I just know that I would not have been able to make it through without your prayers, love, and support. Both the surgery and rehab have gone very well, and I am looking forward to our time when I can be at worship with you. And she's here today. Just wave your hand, Ruth. June said everybody will know that you're here. God has been with me on this journey, and I am so very grateful that I have the wonderful members and the pastor of the Glenshell Valley Presbyterian Church to take this journey with me. With all my heart, in Christ, June White. And God bless you, June, and thank you for the lovely card. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of prayer is on page 454. Glorious is thy name, most holy. Well, worship continued with the prayer of confession you find printed within your bulletin. Dear God,
we praise you for sending your Son into our lives.
We are forever grateful that Jesus was willing to go to the cross to save us from our sins. Forgive us when we continue to be rebellious against your word and your will. Remind us of the reality of the cross and what it means for us now and for all eternity. Help us to live lives that are pleasing to you. Teach us how to be more spiritual. Show us how we can love and appreciate one another as brothers and sisters, with Jesus as our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
This morning, join together with a true sense of unity as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day,
let's take a moment and greet one another. Hi. Get about that sometimes. Okay. Good to see you. Yeah. Good to see you. I'm taking that off. Good morning. I know, clammy this morning. Our responsive reading is 658 in back of your hymnals, Eternal Life. 658, Eternal Life. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God rests upon him. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand.
My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of their Father's hands.
This is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this is the life is in his Son. I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life.
We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding to know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life.
I'd open up the service with a pastoral prayer. And some have given cards, and you can do that each Sunday. And remember, Mark, his father passed away, and made that announcement. A funeral home in Lawrenceville. Don't know the name of it. I don't know how many are in Lawrenceville. B.J. Morrison, breast cancer, size of a pea, caught early. Seeing her surgeon, oncologist, Wednesday. Let's be in prayer for that. Michelle Teggy, her father, is having back surgery October 22nd. And Diane Croyle going in for a lung biopsy on October the 15th. So let's keep them especially in our prayers and the prayers of thanks for people who have been healed. Any other prayer requests at this time? Bev? Yes. Her daughter has breast cancer. They're working on that and going through more tests. And so let's keep more surgery and tests, and let's keep her in our prayers. Debbie Wiggin. Anyone else? Yes. If her husband Bob, who we'll continue to pray for every week, and her friend Diane, we've been praying for, sold her home. So we thank you. Your friend Lois, her boyfriend, passed away. Let's be in prayer for Lois. Anyone else? Okay, for Rosemary and Bob and Anna. Okay, anyone else? Let's go to the Lord, and we'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer with debts and debtors. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Worldwide communion churches in our community, our nation, all over the world, at different times, will be celebrating communion with different traditions, some different understandings, some coming up front to the table, some being served in their seats, some having a belief that the bread and the wine are actually transformed, transubstantiation into the blood and the body. In our Presbyterian tradition, we see it as a service of remembrance, but also that you are here with us. And we do invite you to be with us here today, as we remember your sacrifice upon the cross, giving us the chance of an abundant life here upon this earth, and the promise of eternal life, which means all eternity with you, and all that that means that we really don't understand at this point. But we celebrate it today, thanking you for every good thing that you have done for us and will continue to do throughout all of eternity. And we thank you that we can come to you in prayer with our heartfelt needs for our lives, for our friends and our family, for our country, for our nation, our world. It seems so broad sometimes. But you are our Creator. You've given us life, and you have a plan for humanity. And that ultimate plan is salvation. We thank you for the salvation that you have given to us, and help us reach out and help other people find salvation, a relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and have a spirit and a sense of spirituality in our lives as well as theirs. So many different styles of worship, so many different understandings. But help us to rally around the one thing. Jesus Christ is Lord, the way, the truth, and the life. Help us lift one another up by being kind and helpful and tender. Help us to be compassionate to one another as you have been compassionate to us. Teach us how to be sacrificial in our giving, not just of money during our time of stewardship, but in everything that we do. Help us to open our hearts and be willing to give to others as you have given to us. And thank you for this beautiful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is our screen song. No, wait a minute. Let me see. Hymn of preparation. Let us break bread together. 3, 2, 3. Let's bow for prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and what you mean to us. Thank you for being so kind and wonderful and gracious, giving us the gift of salvation. Help us to care about others and extend that invitation to eternal life to those we come in contact with in a kind and a loving and a gracious way. Help us to reach out. Help us to be givers. Lord, thank you for giving to us. And I just ask that you pour your blessings out upon this congregation as a church, but also to each individual family. Touch them in a very special and a very unique way. In the name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
Today's scripture is Luke's description of the Last Supper. When I think of this, I always reflect back on this verse from John where it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The Greeks have several words for the word that gets translated into love in English. And one of those is agape. And agape is the one that's used in this particular part of John. And agape is a serving love. It's a love where the person is so in love, if you will, with the person that they give themselves and serve them, regardless of the consequences. And when you read this scripture that I will read soon, you see how God's agape love for us, to serve us, so that we can have salvation, comes to fruition. So please listen to your personal message in Luke 22:14-20. When the hour came, John and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. Two things as I get started. I'm going to be changing juice and wine back when the original communion Last Supper, it was of course wine. We use juice today, so therefore I'm interchanging those words. And I'm talking about an example with a steeple, and I asked some of our members, and we have a steeple with a man on top. It looks like an animal to me, but I'm not sure what the animal is. If anybody knows it this time, tell me. Because I'm using an example of a sheep. I'm saying we don't have a sheep on top, but we may have a sheep. I should have come down with binoculars and looked, but just for the morning sermon, I'm going to say no, and then I'm going to try to research it and find out. In Norway, there's a small church called the Church of the Lamb. Instead of having a cross on the steeple, it has a figure of a lamb. The people in that village love to tell why the lamb was placed on top of their church. One day, as work was being completed on the brand new church building, a young man lost his footing and slipped and fell. At that precise moment, as he was falling, a flock of sheep was passing by. And the workman fell directly on top of a little lamb. The man's life was saved by that little lamb, but the lamb was crushed to death. Today, when the townspeople see the lamb on the top of the steeple, they remember how that life was saved and that lamb was sacrificed to save that construction worker. But more importantly, they are reminded of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who willingly, not accidentally, laid down his life to save you and me. This morning, even though we do not have a lamb on our church steeple, we do have the elements of communion. The bread and the wine help us remember the atoning, redeeming, saving work of the Lamb of God at the cross at Calvary. One of the primary reasons that we eat the bread and the wine of Holy Communion is to remember. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." We do not believe that communion is only a memorial service. It is more than that. We believe that it is some mysterious, unexplainable way Jesus himself is present here with us as we take this communion. He wants us to remember his sacrifice for each one of us. When Jesus died, more happened than just another Jew being hung on a Roman cross 2,000 years ago. Something of cosmic and eternal importance took place, and we must never forget that. In Jesus, our wondrous God came to earth and lived in perfect obedience to his own will and his own law. Christ lived in complete harmony and fellowship with God. He identified fully with humanity in every way except one. He did not sin. In Hebrews 4:15 we read, "We have a high priest who had been tempted in every way that we have been tempted, yet he did not sin." Since Jesus did not sin, he lived in perfect obedience to the will of God, and therefore he did not deserve to die. And we read in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. Since Christ did not sin, he did not deserve sin's wages, which is death. He had no sin to be punished for, but willingly went to the cross to receive the punishment of death because of your sin and my sin and the sins of humanity. Jesus accepted our punishment that we might be set free and not punished. We sinned, and he took our punishment away from us. He died so we wouldn't have to. So because of Jesus, you and I do not have to live in fear of eternal death. Jesus Christ willingly accepted a punishment that he did not deserve in order to give us the gift of eternal life that we do not really deserve. And we must never forget that our Lord has done for us. And we should remember on a daily basis, not just when we take communion, the sacrifice that Jesus Christ gave. When we eat the bread and drink the wine, it helps us remember Jesus' body, which was beaten and bled. His body poured out for us. One day a little girl asked her father why he always carried a piece of flat metal in his pocket. And her father smiled warmly and sat down with his daughter and began to explain, "Well, honey, when I was in World War II, and my company was under heavy attack, and the fighting was very fierce. I was in a foxhole with four of my closest buddies, and all of a sudden a grenade was thrown right into the foxhole, and my buddy threw himself on that grenade, and he was killed, but it spared our lives. Tom gave his life for his friends. From that day to this, I have carried his dog tags in my pocket. Whenever I touch them, I remember his loving sacrifice for me and those two other men. How he died so that I might live." my fellow believers, in a very similar way. When we feel the bread, when you hold that piece of bread in your hands, and when you take that cup of communion, that wine, and taste the juice on our lips, we should remember the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. How He died that we might live. How He suffered the penalty and punishment of our sins so that we might be set free to live the abundant life here upon this earth and then have the promise of eternal life forever and ever. So communion helps us remember Christ's redeeming sacrifice for us. And not only do we remember the redemption that Christ's death accomplished, but we should also remember that His death demonstrated His enormous love for humanity. In John 15:13, Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Is there anyone that would die for you? Is there anyone for whom you would die, that you would sacrifice your life this very day? And the beauty of it is Christ willingly laid down His life for His friends. Christ's death was not accidental as it was for the lamb on the steeple when the man fell. His death was not the result of irreversible circumstances set in motion by a clever scheme of people to take His life. His death was the intentional act of a gracious and a loving God. Christ's willing choice to demonstrate His love for you and me, Jesus said in John 10:17, "In this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord." Christ willingly endured the agonizing death on the cross in order to show you and me and all people how much He loves us. And He wasn't dying for good people, but for those who disobeyed, for those who rebelled, for those who did not believe in Him or love Him. Christ died for sinners. In Romans 5:8, the Apostle Paul wrote, "But God shows His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Not once we became good, but while we were bad, while we were sinners, He died for us. That is sacrifice. Sacrifice. What a demonstration of God's love for humanity. It was a true and touching story about two children who did not know each other, even though they attended the same school. The only thing that they had in common was a very rare blood type. And one of the youngsters named Charlie was in the hospital with a very rare blood disease. He was very near death, and his only chance for survival was to have a complete blood transfusion. His blood type was so rare that only one possible donor could be found, a 10-year-old little girl named Tammy. The doctors went to Tammy and explained the situation and said, "Tammy, are you willing to give your blood so that Charlie can live?" They gave her a while to think it over, and the girl hesitated and her lower lip began to tremble. And finally she smiled and said, "All right, I'll give my blood to Charlie so that he can live, because I think that's what Jesus would want me to do." Later, the two children lay side by side in a sterile hospital room, and neither one of them said a word as Tammy watched the blood flow through the tube into Charlie's vein. The ordeal was almost over when the silence was broken by Tammy, who very softly said to the doctor, "How much longer before I die?" It was then that the doctors realized what a tremendous sacrifice that this little 10-year-old girl, Tammy, had been willing to make. She actually thought that she was giving all of her blood, and that she would die, and that Charlie would live. How proud Jesus must have been of that little girl. We remember Jesus' sacrifice of his death on the cross, the death, the end, eternal death for all who will believe on him. And we see on the cross the greatest demonstration of God's love for us. Romans 5:8 says, "For God shows his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." What a costly, what a horrible, what a painful way for God to say, "I love you." When you're served the wine in a few minutes and eat the bread of communion, it should remind you of God's tremendous love for you. When you feel the bread and you taste the juice, I hope you will remember the sacrifice of the Lamb on the cross at Calvary. Remember the Lamb who willingly laid down his life to be able to say, "I love you, my friends. I love you." Remember the Lamb who is with you to forgive, to heal, to strengthen, to restore, to give you eternal life. Remember the Lamb of God. Communion is remembering, but communion is having the presence of Jesus Christ here with us today. May God bless you. Amen. Our communion hymn 274, verses 1 and 2, "Break Thou the Bread of Life." Before we have our prayer, I just want to remind you that everyone is welcome to take communion. I don't really see any kids in here this morning, but they would be welcome. It'd be the parents' decision. You do not have to be Presbyterian. We just ask that you are a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving your only Son to us, the sacrifice that he was willing to make, paying the debt upon that cross, a debt that we would never be able to pay. We could never be good enough. We could never be righteous or holy enough. We could never do enough good deeds. But Jesus did it for us. So because of his sacrifice and our acceptance, we come with some sense of righteousness. But in our humanity, we do continue to sin. And we come at times with a heavy heart saying we're sorry. And once again, we ask for your forgiveness. We know we have the gift of salvation. But help us be what you have called us to be, who have you called us to be, the Christians that you have called us to be. Help us work through our sins and our problems and grow with a sense of spirituality, with grace and dignity and love and forgiveness towards others. Help us as a church to be the church that you have called us to be, moving forward in compassion, in grace, in love and kindness, as families, in our homes, and as individuals. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. When we take communion today, may it be fresh to us, not something that we've done hundreds of times, but may it be like the first time, like we're just meeting you and falling in love with you all over again. In the name of Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we do pray. Amen. On the day that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body which has been given for you. As often as you eat it, do so in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. If you have seen me, then you have seen the Father." Let us, with a sense of reverence, remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. On the same day that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took the cup of the New Testament, pouring it, saying, "This is my blood which has been shed for the remission of the sins of the many. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you shall confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, then you shall be saved. I am the first and the last, and I am alive forevermore." Let us, with a sense of unity and love, remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our closing hymn, and I got to back up, is "I Will Sing of the Mercies." It's a screen song.
Thank you.
I just want to take a moment to tell you that I love you. And in relationships, when you've been with people a long time, sometimes you forget to say that. And I do. I love you. In family, sometimes we forget to tell each other. We just go on about our business and we say, well, they should know that I love them. But I do. I love you. And I appreciate you. I care about you. And I thank you for allowing me to be your pastor. Thank you. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, I hope you go with the sense that God was here with you today. I hope you go remembering God and knowing that God remembers you, knows you, and thinks about you every single day. Go in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.